I'm still kind of reeling from you telling me that I snore.
No, you're not. I think everybody in your entire life has told you that, including your 7-year-old.
Dad. What? I stayed up all night one night to see if I snored, and I never did.
Really? Yeah. Sounds like a broken locomotive.
What? What? Oh my gosh. Hey, during the intro, we had like 5 people watching.
They heard us snoring and they got very, very upset.
What kind of show is this?
What kind of show is this? We thought it was a devotional.
You're talking about a snoring. Hello, my friends. It's Andy coming to you live from Orange County, California with my love, Hedio Miramati Falcon.
Good morning.
We still haven't come up with a way of like how we're going to open. We have to have that thing other than me snoring. Whatever that is.
Ta-da!
Hey, guys, make sure you comment. That is the best way that you can show your
support.
Support. There you go. That's why I have you, because I often can't think of words. Support for the show by commenting. Comment. Subscribe, share, like, all those kinds of things, and give emotions like the heart we just got just a second ago. And then you're going to go to livingdevotional.com, livingfearlessdevotional.com, and that will take you to Apple Podcasts. Now, you may not listen to podcasts on Apple Podcasts, but I need you to go to that one first, hit the 5 stars, write a testimony on how great, a review on how great God is. And then leave it at that. We still need more, reviews, because that's, again, what shares and tells people that this is something people should be listening to.
Yes.
You like how I changed that from how great we are to how great God is?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit at work. I love it.
Speaking of Holy Spirit, we're going to go to the devotional here. And again, we're continuing on the truth of the resurrection. I don't know how to say an idea. The truth of resurrection, since we are still within the boundaries of Easter. The word truth got me because your article came out today. And yes. Some people get offended with the truth.
I think it's some falsehood that we invented.
Right. It is so awesome. Hey, Tim Fox, nice to see you. I can't wait to meet you someday. That'll be awesome. And April Roga commenting, thank you. Following direction as the great supporter of our show you are. Okay, so let's get to the devotional, and then we'll get into the rest of our shenanigans later on. and we are reading from My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers for April 8th. The title is His Resurrection Destiny. His Resurrection Destiny. And the reference is Luke 24:26. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Our Lord's cross is the gateway into his life. His resurrection means that he has the power to convey his life to me. When I was born again, I received the very life of the risen Lord from Jesus himself. Amen. Christ's resurrection destiny, his foreordained purpose, was to bring many sons to glory. The fulfilling of his destiny gives him the right to make us sons and daughters of God. We never have exactly the same relationship to God and to God that the Son of God has, but we are brought by the Son into the relationship of sonship. When our Lord rose from the dead, he rose to an absolutely new life, a life he had never lived before. He was God incarnate. He rose to a life that had never been before. And what his resurrection means for us is that we are raised to his risen life, not to our old life. One day we will have a body like his glorious body, but we can know here and now the power and effectiveness of his resurrection and can walk in the newness of life. Paul's determined purpose was to know him and the power of his resurrection. Jesus prayed, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. The term Holy Spirit is actually another name for the experience of eternal life. Working in human beings here and now. The Holy Spirit is the deity of God who continues to apply the power of the atonement by the cross of Christ to our lives. Thank God for the glorious and majestic truth that his Spirit can work the very nature of Jesus into us if we will only obey him, which is really the
crux of it.
Yeah. That's the trick.
Isn't it?
Can I ask you, if you don't mind, because we read it a couple times, these two lines, or I guess it's a couple lines, where he says, when our Lord rose from the dead, he rose to an absolutely new life, a life he had never lived before. He was God incarnate. He rose to a life that had never been before.
So there's actually no pause after. So he rose to an absolutely new life, a life he had never lived before. He was God incarnate. So when Christ came to earth, he was already God incarnate. But when he rose from the dead, he rose in a totally new form, which I've never heard before. And that's why I drew your attention to it with the first time we read it, which is he rose to an absolutely new life, even though he was already God incarnate. So that new life, what Oswald's teaching us, is a life that had the power to make us sons and daughters and to allow us to live in the power of the atonement and the resurrection. And I constantly marvel at this theme that Oswald's taking us through this week, which is, what does it really mean to live a resurrected life? What does it really mean to manifest his glory, to surrender enough of our own preconceived notions of what that would look like or what benefits we get out of that, and to literally humble ourselves enough to manifest what he expects it to look like. And I wanna, something that struck me is I'm a fan of Brandon Lake, the singer. I don't know if that's bad or good to some people, but I just love his voice. And he did the show with his wife called The Lakes. And they talked about, she did a lot of work at the church. She was volunteering constantly. She worked in the student, in the kids ministry. And then when she had her two kids, she went through a season when he started traveling where she just stayed home. And she said that she felt God telling her, this is your ministry. This is the ministry I want you to nurture. Mm-hmm. And that's what it really, and it was hard for her at first. And she constantly comes back to hearing that and knowing she heard that. And yet people being like, oh, we don't see you at the church. And why aren't you at the church? And the pressure that comes with that. And I had a similar experience where I felt worried that the Lord would be disappointed that I wasn't working hard enough on the ministry. And he had told me, focus on this new family that I'm giving you. This is the first ministry of focus for you. And I think that that's really important, again, to have a new life and to be resurrected, to listen to what he is telling you is the resurrected life. Not what we think it should be, but what he literally is speaking to our hearts about what it should be. And I think we saw that again yesterday where we wanted to do a work-related thing versus a kids thing. And I said, well, let's pray about it. And you heard kids. And that was along the same theme that I had listened to in the car, which was the family is your first ministry. And it turned out to be such a beautiful choice. We were even talking about that this morning. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the power of having the humility to surrender to God and be like, have your way with me, Lord. Make me a new creation. Give me a new life.
Yeah, I like the word transformation. That's a very clear distinction that you're going from one person to another person. The yes. Transformation. And I was just thinking about this. I don't know why, but we're watching the show The Chosen.
Yes.
And we were watching Jesus, hanging out with some kids, building stuff and talking to them and teaching them. And there's no reference to that in the Bible.
He references the importance of the faith, childlike faith, but not that scene.
And so in reading and in connection with that, and then reading this devotional, I'm wondering if Jesus actually went through transformations on earth and in this transformation when after the resurrection. So like, we hear about baby Jesus.
Yes. Right?
That's obviously referenced in the Bible.
Yes.
That's one thing. And then we have like 30 years or something like that where we don't know anything. And he was obviously a carpenter and working and doing it and feeling pain you know, other things that, you know, humans feel, and being challenged by, you know, what was going on in his life, not having any money and sleeping. They brought up that he sleeps outside all the time in a tent and all this kind of stuff. And then I'm wondering if there was a, distinct transformation from carpenter to pastor, teacher.
Well, when his mother comes to him to turn the water to wine, he says, "What do you want from me, woman? My time has not yet come." So he anticipated that there was going to be a demarcation, an exact period of time. And in fact, at that point, he did perform that miracle. But this is the first time I've heard it referred to, at least after the resurrection, that that was a whole new life. Even though he was already God incarnate, he did go through a transformation. So how many transformations he went through?
That's what I'm wondering.
It's interesting.
It's kind of like, you know, like just this is just talking about superheroes because he's kind of a superhero to us. But if you're thinking like a superhero, like as there be, as they're a kid and great and you know, getting older, maybe the superpower isn't present yet. And then for whatever reason, on one day they get angry and they, you know, crush a truck. With their eyesight or something like that. You go, how did I do that? That's what I'm wondering. If like he was walking around not knowing.
No, he knew.
He always knew.
He always knew. And that's why he told his mom, "My time has not yet come." Yeah. Because he always knew that his ministry would start at some point, but that it wasn't time yet.
I just wonder if he was like waiting, like he was trying to do like a miracle, like with like, and it was like this little spark. it's not, hey, woman, it's not time yet. It's good. And then one day he goes, and then he goes, all right, now it's time.
That's okay.
Now for the next 3 years, I'm going to just kill it. I'm going to change the world. They're going to, you know, base a calendar off of me. I mean, like all of a sudden, all of it becomes apparent. They're going to put my name on the back of money. The United States, it's not, it doesn't exist yet, but when they do, they're going to say, "I pledge allegiance to the flag," and God is going to be in there.
Oh,
I don't know. I've gone crazy. All of a sudden, I'm a little sleepy.
Yeah. So,
but I just think about, I mean, what do you think about these little transformations? I just wonder how obvious they were, or was it just subtle transformations as he just said, okay, now it's time to teach. Now I feel the power.
Well, I think that is, it's hard to wrap our heads around because he was God incarnate and man at the same time from his birth. So he was God wrapped in flesh, sent to the earth. So he knew the whole time that's who he was, but how did he balance those two existences in his body until his ministry started? Because they said also that he, when he was very little, one of the stories we do know is that he was in the temple and his parents were terrified. They couldn't find him, Mary and Joseph. And they went in the temple and they found him. And he's like, "Well, didn't you know I was in my father's house?
Oh.
You know, you should have known that.
Yeah.
That's where I would be."
So cool.
Yeah,
I forgot about that story.
Yeah, so it's
yeah,
it's interesting.
So, what about the devotional? That was most of like teaching. I mean, what did it cause you? I mean, we've been talking about the subject now for a couple of days.
Yes.
So it just makes sense that we kind of transitioned into a little bit of a different take on it in regard to what is it talking about, and what about these transformations? But is there anything new?
Well, I mean, that's just what's speaking to me is that we. In our own little way, we listened to what God wanted for us yesterday. Oh, and as I was telling you this morning at breakfast, that my daughter woke up in the middle of the night and was crying, and we went in the living room and we just hugged, and she hugged me seriously, more intensely and lovingly than I have ever experienced in 14 years of her life. And besides praying over her quite intensely, it immediately dawned on me that the day we had spent together, the happiness, whatever she was experiencing, it hit her in a profound way. And that must have affected why she was feeling emotional. I don't know if that was all of it, but I know it was at least part of it. And so, again, it's when we surrender ourselves to the Lord, he will show us the miracles of obedience and what it means to have a new life.
Talk about transformation. I mean, just hearing you talk about, you know, all of that just takes my mind to seeing the three out of the five kids sitting on the couch, you know, whatever they're looking at a phone or looking at something. And Rhett and Bo. Rhett is 10, Bo is 7, and Zara is 14.
Yes.
14. Wow, I'm glad I got that right. Was in the middle. And the boys were sitting here, like, right next to her, their head on her shoulder. Like, I mean, it's fantastic.
It really is.
And then my oldest son, my 14-year-old, has been a little bit kind of like in this weird space. Like, he's not really quite sure to make of this relationship and, you know, how quickly we got married. Let's just put it out there. Now we're adding another child. Right. And so he was a little bit put off by it, I think. And I think there was some influence from the outside working on him. But seeing his transformation.
Yes.
Another transformation of how, you know, they're talking to each other, talking about people at school that they don't even go together yet with, but they happen to know some of the same people now. But seeing that transformation has been beautiful.
It really is.
And so now it's up to us as parents to fertilize or nurture. Thank you. Nurture that transformation.
And that's exactly what we did yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
With the yes, yeah, from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Because we, our default, and that's what's so awesome about this walk starting later in life, is that our default for decades would have been work, we got to do this thing. You know, this is our mission. But we had the humility to ask the Lord, and he pointed us in a completely different direction, and we saw the fruits of it, which was awesome.
I thought this earlier, but I didn't say anything. Oh. I know that for whatever reason, the camera makes me say stuff.
Dun, da, da, da.
And I'm getting a little bit emotional now. I don't know why. But do you think in some way, I'm not trying to say anything how great I am or the family is or my kids are, but do you think in some way there was a little bit of worry with Zara that this might not be real?
Oh, for sure.
Oh.
She's told me that.
Oh.
She didn't think it's
so good. I don't want it to go away. I don't want it to stop.
I don't think that she didn't trust my staying power.
Neither did I.
I mean, let's be honest, folks.
I mean, but when you see all this, I mean,
of course.
And right? Now that you told me I snore, no wonder.
My daughter's been through quite a number of caretakers, over a dozen in less than 8 years. And so she's not sure people will stay. And she had her entire social network when we left Islam disappear overnight. And so she doesn't know what is dependable for sure. And the only thing that she knows is dependable is me, is that I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm the constant. But I am sure she was struck and maybe didn't even know how to process what she's experiencing with you and the kids and having brothers and sisters. And
yeah. Because when she comes in and I want to give her a hug, and she's kind of like, she's like that dog. She's like picking up the dog at the dog shelter that doesn't know you, like. And I just want to give you a hug. I'm not creepy, man. I'm not asking you, hey, come look at my puppy. No.
Look at the rabbits.
No, you're my daughter. You're my daughter. Oh, and she gives me that look. Like,
wait.
Yeah. And then she gives me the hug like this.
That's usually the hug I get too, so don't feel bad.
And then Rhett comes over. Ah! And they hug each other. Like, what? And then my kids leave. They don't even look at me anymore. They all hug you. It's the craziest stuff. But that's the transformation. Let's get back on topic. But the transformation that we're seeing here also. And so I love the comparisons. Not even comparisons, but I love the similarities between what we're reading in the Bible, what we read from God's word in the devotionals. We can see it happening in our life.
Amen.
And when you do that, and again, last night I was talking about how I was one of those people that like were looking at people as weirdos because they thought they saw God in everything. Like, I go, how do you see God in everything? You see God in that rock? Yeah. I mean, look at that. Somehow that rock was so much pressure. God then passed water over it, causing it to break up.
I go, but doesn't it make life so much more
easy? But now I go, you know, they're right. That rock is one of God's creations. Like the rock.
The rock.
Not the rock, the actor. The rock. Well, I mean, he is too, but even though is he Republican? I don't even know.
I have no idea.
It doesn't matter. sorry, I digress.
Squirrel.
But it's like, I'm one of those crazy people now. I'm crazy for God.
It's awesome.
It is kind of wacky.
It is awesome.
The old Andy would be looking at me going, you're weird, dude. You're a Bible thumper.
And it's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's so much fun because we're expecting a kind of a monumental change today, and we don't know if it's going to come through or not. And we don't know what the plan B is. I would have by now normally have made a plan B, C, and D. But Andy's like, can we just, you know, find out what happens with plan A and then move to the other?
Then we make a new plan A.
I'm like, okay. Okay. So it's just it's a journey, folks. Mm. Get on the Jesus train. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Tim is obviously agreeing with you. And yes. I'm a child in my faith. So I appreciate all input in learning.
No, he's referring to Jesus in that.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you thought he was referring to you being a child.
Oh, I am. I'm a baby. It's like confirming what you said. I was thinking that maybe
it was a Power Rangers activate later in
life. Yeah, like later on, it was like I said, he like did something and like the earth moved and he goes, oh.
Wow.
Where'd that come from? God. Hey, Mom.
No.
Hey, what happened? Well, let's see. You were born, but I didn't do anything with your dad. It just kind of happened. What are you talking about?
No.
No, not like as a teenager?
No.
Like I was getting the birds and the bees?
No.
Well, in most relationships, the man and but not in my case. That didn't happen?
No.
Oh. He knew. All right. Go ahead and read that.
Oh, she has to be going through so much. Prayers for you and yours. It must be so hard to just be a kid today. I can't imagine. It's so true.
Priscilla. There's that going on too.
There's a lot of that going on right now. Yeah. My daughter is going through a whole pronoun evaluation phase and I am trying desperately to love her patiently and unconditionally through it. And she had to get, she had cheer tryouts yesterday. So she had to put her hair in a ponytail and put a bow. And she was so distraught over this hairstyle. She's like, look at me. And I was like, honey, put some makeup on you. You look great. You look beautiful. And it was really hard for her. But I think she really ended up enjoying it because she's like, I can't believe I have a bow in my hair. She's like, I can't believe you're making me do this. And she says, I'm making her do it. And she says she doesn't like it. But you know she does, right? Yeah. It's just like she just.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
she's coming back.
She's coming back.
Yeah,
she is. So thank you for your prayers, all of you.
And yeah.
Danielle, thank you. Thank you for being with me throughout this entire journey. I am so, so grateful for you and your friendship and your love and your prayers. Thank you.
I was going to say that, there's all that going on with the pronouns like that. But then all my kids are conservative.
Yes.
And they put each other down by calling the other one a Democrat. That's their cuss word.
Yes.
Like, Ray, quit acting like a Democrat. I am not a Democrat. Just like the videos you see on YouTube. So your daughter coming into that situation and they're all getting along. They're all talking. The communication, I think they'll actually do a better job as kids talking through it, I think, than adults are doing today.
Absolutely.
Especially the politicians. It's just about that line. And you can't, you know, you can't compromise. You can't have a discussion without somebody going, "Hey, you're a Trumpster."
Right? Like I did to my article today.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You should see. You should go to Christian Post, type in Hedia's name. The title of the piece is
Assault on White America. And I clearly define that term in the article that basically they refer to us as angry white people. Ironically, we're all nationalities and races, and yet they just keep calling us white people. And so I said, okay, why don't we just take hold of the term and own it and just be like, okay, we're white America. We're the white people. I'm a woman of color. He's Mexican. I'm from the Middle East. We're, you know, camel herders. I've been called everything you could possibly think of since I was 6 years old, but I'm the white person now. And the comments, the article were like, you white people. And again,
they're privileged. Yeah. They continued
with that insult. I was like, you're proving my exact point that you, and again, with the Trump stuff, like yes. We can't talk about conservative Christian values without it being about Trump.
Yeah.
And he's not even president anymore.
Yeah, it won't stop.
It won't, because that's how they continue the vilification. They call it the insurrection of January 6th, the attack on our values.
What does that have to do with the churches?
Well, they're saying that this is what Biden's doing is a response. We started it.
No.
It's like kids.
So destroy the churches because of what happened at the Capitol.
Exactly. And that the angry white people are to blame.
Yeah. And the cops.
And the cops.
And cops are to blame.
Because now cops suck too, apparently.
Yeah. But that's still this. We're still on the devotional, by the way.
Yes.
But that, I mean, it has to be talked about. It has to be written about. The Christian Post, I just wanted to say, right, at least I hope they're going to stick to this. They're very brave for putting an article, and brave
Yes.
as it is, and it was an overused word, but brave in the sense that everybody, there's not a lot of places that will put that article on their platform.
Yes. Well,
And so I don't, I mean, again, I think brave is overused, but it is awesome that they would do that as a Christian publication that would be willing to put that article on and take the heat that they're going to get from your article.
and they said when after they read it was that what you're saying is true, and it's a conversation that needs to be had. Yes, people may have a hard time with it, but it's the conversation we need to have. Is that people are so focused on the anti-Trumpism, they're not seeing what's happening to the country. And so I laid out a number of instances of how this attack is coming in literally physical violence, but also the attack on Georgia and the root elimination of qualified immunity for police officers, and how all these things taken in their totality is an assault on the majority community of America. And we need to fight back.
And it's all currently under control of most media programming and outlets
Yeah.
that
Corporations, like
yeah.
Tucker calls it, the corporatocracy, whether it's Google,
Yeah.
Amazon, Coke, Major League Baseball, all
Flat
these.
out lying about bills, about what's happening in the George Floyd case.
Yes.
And and they only tell you one side of the story to make sure that it's slanted as much as possible, so that there's the weak-minded people who don't read into things, who don't know how to critically think, take whatever it is they're saying as the only side of the story.
Yes.
I mean, there's this one, there's testimony that was happening yesterday where the chief of police, although he said that Chauvin, whatever his name, however you pronounce it, wasn't following police procedure, although the guy who actually trains and wrote the procedures said, "Oh no, that we teach that technique." And then they asked the chief, was he on George's neck? And at some point he was, but for the most part he was on his back and on his shoulders. But the media doesn't say that part of the testimony. They always say,
Right.
"Yeah." The only thing they're showing is that he said that he was good at doing it against police policy, even though it's in the procedure manual
Right.
to do that very thing. So, but you can take that testimony, and this is what I want to talk about. Whether you believe what he did was wrong or right or not, or he murdered him, that doesn't matter. It's that you have a media that's only sharing that part of the story. That's the part that actually is affecting all of us.
Right.
It's developing this hatred for police, hatred for white people, because of the way that they are steering the
Gender,
discussion.
yeah.
They're only giving you one side of the discussion instead of saying, well, not only did the chief say that it's against policy, but he also said that the officer that's being accused did not have his knee on his neck the entire time, that most of that time was on his shoulders, which would not, it would not constitute what they're trying to call a chokehold, which it need, no matter what, it's not a chokehold. But you see what I'm saying? Is
Sure.
that here, and that's on everything when it comes to there's a man and a woman. Right, when it comes to there, they only want to give the side of the story that makes it sound like when you say there's only a man and a woman, that somehow you're misogynistic, that you're a homophobe, that you're all these things.
Well, and I think the people that criticize the article, if they are Christians, most of them are, I presume, are not. But I think those that are think that this the majority opinions deserve to be destroyed. That's what a lot of the comments seem to be implying, that we should be dismantling this and we should be attacking the conservative foundation of this country. And that's a shame. That's a shame, because if they're Christians believing that, then you're basically saying the fact that our calendar and our holidays and our Pledge of Allegiance and all of these other things where we have the foundational principles in God we trust, and they think that we shouldn't, or that that's okay to get rid of in order for us to be a more open society, then they're sacrificing the values of this country, leaving us open to become either communist or Islamist.
Yeah. Wow. Now what?
No.
I think about my atheist friend, you know, Jay. So just a really quick story on Jay. Jay, I'm a dog trainer. I've been training dogs for 30 years, police dogs, detection dogs, bomb dogs, bed bug dogs. So Jay was in the pest control business. He wanted a bed bug dog. He was looking for a trainer. And I happened to be, at the time, I was all over the planet on dogs. I was on television, and I had written some books and a bunch of stuff. So every time he searched, my name would come up, especially when it came up to bed bug dogs. And so early on in his research, he not only did my name come up, but the book, Walking with God and a Dog. So this book comes up, Walking with God and a Dog. So as he's searching for a trainer to train him and his bed bug detail, or a dog that he wanted to be a bed bug detection, this comes up, but he's atheist. And he goes, well, I'm not going with that guy because he's a Christian. So Jay abandons anything that has to do with my name. So I guess he you know, kind of like was on again, off again, doing research. A year later, he decided, you know what? I really want to do this bed bug dog thing. He goes, and so I think he didn't take notes and forgot. And then he does research. And poof, my name comes back up again. And he goes, God, this sounds familiar. I can't remember why I didn't go with this guy. And then he goes, he started researching other guys, and all those guys either, you know, had bad marks on Yelp or whatever. A bunch of stuff was coming up, and he goes, God, I got to go back to that. And I can't remember why I didn't go with
that
him before.
That is so funny.
And so then all of a sudden my book pops up. He goes, oh, he's that Christian guy. He goes, but he seems to know what he's doing. Right? He just seems to know what he's doing. Eventually what he does, he calls me and says, all right, I wasn't going to do any business with you because you're a Christian, but you seem to be the best in the business at this thing. So I got to overlook that you're a Christian.
That is so funny.
And he and I have become friends. He's still atheist. We're still friends. And he even went to church with me one day. And so the point of my story is that you have these two, you know, that they were pushing against each other. Like, well, there's no way that we're going to come together. And just with time and with some understanding and with the common thing that we do have in common brought us together. We can still believe in a God or no God, right? But we can still come together and live in the same world and actually become friends. Wife had gone out to dinner. His kids have played with my kids, right? He's stayed here for weeks at a time, and we've trained together, and we've laughed together. We've had a beer together, and we're really good friends. And even have discussions on Facebook sometimes that have to do with the subject matter, as we did the other day.
Yes.
Right? And we didn't, you know, hate each other or, end our friendship.
Sometimes our lives will be the only Bible a person may ever read. So it's always important to be gracious and kind and giving and loving. And I'm in speaking about this issue of the article and the country and these dichotomies, I'm in the process of going through the interview there. This show is going to air, that's going to be providing my testimony. And I was explaining, and he said, walk me through what Christ has done for you since the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. How has he transformed you? And one of the things I brought up to him was that when I left DC and I came out here, I really thought I was done with politics. I just really, I wanted no part of it. I was just done. And then here I meet you, and that's like all that you're about. And I was just like, oh, cute. Okay. So I'll be supportive. And he's like, you want to come on my show? I'm like, yeah, okay. And then when the Christian Post opportunity came up, she's like, I want you to write about foreign policy and like domestic policy, terrorism stuff. And I was like, oh my God, are you kidding? Like, this is really coming back up. And the producer of the show said to me, Hedia, the Lord's not going to throw away half of your life. He will use it. And
oh, wow.
And again, I want to bring us back to this devotional where it's like, if you allow the Lord to have his way, he will take everything. He will use it all to make the most beautiful creation in his name for his glory.
Wow.
Oh, I least expected it. I really could not have imagined it coming out this way for him to reuse it. And And again, I'm reminded of another devotional. Oswald said that, you know, he will open the doors that you shut and keep the doors shut that he closes. And he'll reopen some of those doors just to show you something about yourself or to grow something in you. But ultimately, if you allow him, he'll be responsible for the ones that stay open and the ones that shut.
Wow. That's some good stuff right there. Keep writing.
As long as they let me, you know, I don't know when they're going to get, you know, sick of the backlash. I don't know, but.
Nah, as long as you keep getting the notice on these other platforms and spreading the word. I mean, they've probably never been so popular or hated. Like what Jesus Christ, what do you say about being hated or God?
Yeah. Remember when they hate you, they hated me first.
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect. Got chills.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
Awesome.
Yes.
So awesome.
God is so good.
All right, my friends. We love you guys. If you're in the Orange County area, go to a place called Flappy Jack's. I know it sounds silly, but man.
Amazing food.
Yeah. They have double doors to enter the restaurant for a reason.
For sure. In case somebody needs a wheelbarrow to get you out.
I got some big men going in there. Give me some pancakes at Flappy Jack's. Oh, I had the Irish Benedict.
That was like a monster. Yeah. That was a monster. Look, corned beef hash. I don't know what.
You'll see a picture on my on my personal page at some point. Let's see, Karen Jones. Go ahead.
My friend or your friend? Andy, I sent you and Hedy a PM and Messenger. Let me know what you guys think. You guys are great. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. Awesome. Very cool. We'll check that out. But yeah, go to Flappy Jack's. That's good. What else? There was something else I wanted to talk about before we left. They kind of Hedy and I have different ideas on this subject. We you know the home we're looking at. I have very positive vibes, and you not as much.
Not still, as much. Still. I mean, kind of. Your enthusiasm is on me. I love that you prayed about it.
I did. And I shared with God and I said, God, please look at this little presentation I'm going to give you in my head.
You did a PowerPoint.
I did a PowerPoint presentation in my brain of in this room, we're going to do this. Look at the kids in their rooms. Look how happy they are. Look at how everything fits. The thing with restrooms, that was a big concern. That problem solved. Yeah. And the backyard has a backyard that we can have our real wedding in and invite many of you to come. And there's just, I mean, and the kitchen and everything, just, it's just like the kitchen is perfect for the size of the family we have and the amount of food that our children eat. A little skinny little, you think we eat a lot of food. Wait till you see these kids. And I did the presentation, the whole thing.
I love that.
And the last one was, please, God. Hear my words and see my pictures in my head. So pray for a pot. And again, I understand if God says, you know, that was a great presentation. You did a really good job. However, I'm going to deny your request at this point. I'm going to give you something else. So I understand that is a possibility, but I feel very positive about it.
Well, you said you heard yes.
I think that was me. I think that was my second to last slide. It says yes. I go, God, repeat after me. Just say the word. Don't just say
just
yes.
Say yes.
That's what my kids do to me when they want something. Hey, Dad, can you just say yes?
Yes.
Yes to what? No, it's not important. Just say yes to what it is that I'm thinking. And no, and I always say no. Just like God probably is like, come on, brah. You're not fooling me.
You never know.
So let's pray for that so that we have the place that we want.
Yes, we ask for your prayers.
Look at, see, now I told her, she keeps telling me to run for office. I keep telling her she needs to run for office. Yes, Hedia.
That's an interesting thought.
Oh, make sure.
I don't know. That's a little scary, huh? Okay. But I actually think if they met in person, they'd give a big hug.
Yeah, well, I may have to have just in case a restraining order.
Yeah,
just in case. We may have to meet at the police department. Just to make sure.
Just to make sure. Yeah. Okay.
That's so funny. I love that guy. He takes all my, he copies and pastes my words. And he goes, oh, how dare you say that? I know how to spell. I go, oh, you got me there.
It's really, I got to tell you, some of his rebuttals are clever.
Yeah.
You know, they're
more clever than mine?
Never.
Oh, okay.
Never good. More clever than mine. but clever nonetheless.
They are clever. Well, clever sometimes because he takes my words.
Oh, right, because they wouldn't be clever otherwise. This is the Andy Falco show. I'm just an accessory.
Oh my gosh. I'm not sure what you were hearing, but it clearly is not me snoring. I don't know what it is. It might be Alexa. It may be Alexa.
And so after my daughter and me had this love fest, we went back into the room to get some Advil for her. She's like, I thought you said he was a light sleeper. Big Sandy's over there. I was like, yeah, sometimes.
All right. Yes, Tim, we are going to restore California. That is
restore California. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we have thought about leaving. Don't get me wrong, but it always comes back to staying and fighting for the state. The state, we cannot let the state fall.
It's too beautiful. The thing that
we both grew up here, which is hard to find people that grew up in California. But yet we both grew up here, and it's where we grew up. We need to save it.
Yeah, it's our home.
Hey, Paul. Oh, you know what? I was actually thinking about you today. I want to make sure now and get a hold of you or get with you to do our show that we promised. That would be awesome. But I'm feeling great. I'm over my cold. I'm over everything. I think you might have seen the discussion on the water. Maybe.
Yes.
The water has been spectacular. I can't say enough about it. And I just want to know more before I say anything about it. But if you want to know more about it, I can set you up with the person that I'm working with. Who's I got like how many buckets now? Do we got like 7 buckets?
Yes.
Of water. Because it's a long story. So we have the buckets of water now. But I feel great. I'm telling you, how am I feeling?
But see, here's the thing. I didn't want to say it, but the mic makes me say things too.
What?
I know you hate the thought of doing this, but mm-hmm. I want to actually do an elimination challenge because I actually believe God cured you.
That's fine.
And I don't
through the water.
I don't think it was through the water.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, I can understand how it could have therapeutic benefits, but mm-hmm. I just think that it is. I've just seen so many people heal from conditions when they walk with the Lord. That I just think that he's showing you his miraculous power, and even without the water, it would happen. But that's just me.
Yeah, just say yes. And we're not talking about what we're talking about. But I understand, and I like to go through these eliminations, but the only thing I can tell you is that for almost 6 years now, I think whatever it's been like 5 years, I've had this thing. Cancer.
I know, but you've never
and prayed. I've had people pray. Well, that's true. Again, I've had people pray for me for a very long time. I've had pastors pray over me, hands. I've had the men's group at church.
No, but this is you.
That they're praying over. I understand. But
It's you doing it to you.
Yes, I know, but. Why at the moment I started drinking it, did it get very uncomfortable through the healing process? And again, I don't even know that it's healed. I just know that it was very, very uncomfortable when I started drinking the water. And then after that 2 days, what she said was happening to other people, she didn't know I was going through it. I didn't even say anything to her. She goes, you know, just this one friend of mine started drinking the water and it got worse. She was talking about. And he goes, and then after that though, what it turns out is it's the healing process sometimes is a little painful. And but after that, everything was fine. And then I said nothing to her. And that's exactly what was happening with me before she said it. So it wasn't like a power of first suggestion. It had already occurred. And then she told me about somebody else where that same thing had happened without the knowledge of what happened with me.
I can't deny it.
So I'm looking at all those things too. Like, what else did I change? That's, you know, I look at everything. Was there something I was doing differently, you know, nutritionally? Was there something else I was doing with you? But either way, at this point, I have not felt this good in several years. No pain, no discomfort, peeing, is fine. I don't even know what to say. And I understand. I agree. It's God. I believe that it is, but doesn't he use things sometimes?
He does, absolutely. I just don't know if I would attribute it to that. I could see that it being used as a means, but
When you think about how crappy our water is, right? It's good enough for us to drink, and
right.
it does hydrate us to a certain extent.
Like I
But
got
you
that
see
whole
all the
part.
chemicals that are in there. When you have something that takes out all the crap and
Well, but
gives
she
us
says
back
it
the water.
doesn't. It just makes the water molecule smaller so that it gets properly absorbed so the cells are properly expanded. So, sorry, everyone, we're having this discussion about this water. But the idea is, and she's a very strong Christian. She's a beautiful woman, talking about the importance of drinking living water, and that basically the water that comes out of our tap or in the bottles is dead water. And so that part I totally understood because she says basically that's why when you drink it, you don't feel hydrated, you feel bloated because it's dead water. The water molecules are too large. So this machine actually has no filter. It's just energy charged to split the atoms so that they're smaller, almost like gas molecules, so that they go in your cells and properly hydrate your body. So it can understand scientifically how it could set in motion an anti-inflammation, because maybe a lot of what you were suffering was an inflammation, and that it would set in motion a proper hydration to eliminate the inflammation. But yeah, I don't know, I guess.
I don't think it splits the atoms because that would cause a nuclear
She
reaction.
says, well, it splits and makes them smaller.
Splits the molecules.
Molecules,
Yeah.
sorry, not the
I
atoms. Splits the molecules.
want to make sure people
I
didn't think we
mean,
were creating some nuclear bomb.
tomato, tomato. I'm the one with 3 degrees. Atoms and molecules.
Make a great team.
Right?
I love you.
Oh.
And I do believe it's God. I think a block God is just put everything into place. Because it's just
And Christ has done that. So, okay, in some, he just says out. He would heal people. He would just touch them. Some, like the woman with the problem of blood, he didn't even touch her. He said, your faith has made you well. And she went and was cured. So to others, like the one that was blind, he spit in his hand, grabbed some mud, spit in his hand, rubbed it on his eyes. So for some, he does use a means. I mean, I personally, when I first got my diagnosis of potential cancer, I just went to the Lord and I was like, no,
Get that out of me right now.
we are not doing this. And you are removing this because this is not our agreement. And it was gone. It was miraculously gone. I have two reports to show it, but I did go to Pastor Jack. He did lay his hands on me. But I know the Lord can use a variety of mechanisms. I know people can suffer for many, many years with a trauma, but they believe in the promises of God that they will be healed. And it just happens. It just happens at some particular point based on whatever God wants in that person's life. And so I think, without divulging too much information about where this pain is that you're having, it could have been a necessary hindrance to you running amok, and the Lord did not want to heal it at a particular point in time until it was necessary and safe for him to heal it. You know what I mean? Like there's all
It's
kinds
like
of
neutering a dog.
reasons. I mean,
That
kind of.
you're saying? But yes,
And he heals at a certain point for a certain reason.
I'll add one more component.
Yes.
I met Debbie right at the beginning of my cancer diagnosis at a place that I got invited to at the very last second, and she was there peddling her water.
I don't know if you watch it, Debbie. We love you.
And she like had whatever reason. I mean, it was like all of 10 minutes. And then I spoke on stage. I was there speaking, and then I came up. She goes, "Oh, I really like your talk." And she goes, "You really need to try that. And let me give you 2 gallons of water." And at that point, she gave me 2 gallons of water for 5 years. Through her, it is possible, is it not, that God was speaking through her? And every so often, I get a text. How are you feeling? How is it? Can I get? She goes, "I believe in this water so much. How can I get it into your hands?"
For
It was,
sure.
never was it a sales pitch. She goes, "I want to bring you water." And now that could have been a sale. I don't know. But she was always willing to bring me water. She would drive up here and bring me water.
Well, that
And she's
well,
married. and very Christian.
No, but that's none another of that. Thing. So yeah. she is a very faithful person. And again, like I told you, just even the way Christ healed people, yes. he used different means for different people. It could depend on their faith. It could depend on the illness. But some he didn't even have to touch. So your faith has made you well. Go. For the centurion whose servant was sick, he said, Christ says, I'll follow you to house. He says, you don't need. Say it and it'll be done. Mm. And he's like, then I shall so say it. And it was done from a distance. You know, so I just think that the Lord will heal in his timing, in his way, based on that
individual. And when I'm listening and paying attention.
And when you're listening.
And that's one of those other things that I've not been very good at. Like, dude, I keep having her bring you water. what are you gonna commit to the water?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So I hope you guys don't mind us having this discussion in front of you, but it's a great discussion about all of this. Like, it's really like, how do you know? How do you know when it's God? How do you know when it's not? How do you know when he's talking? How do you know when it's you talking?
Yeah.
How do you know? Resurrected how do you know?
Life. Well, because if we knew, like he tells the disciples, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you would tell this mountain to move and it would go into the sea. That's the power of the living Christ in us. So we have the power to heal, to cure the sick, heal the lame, and cast out demons. We have the power to trample on serpents. You know, it is, we have the power and dominion over all animals and all creatures of the sea. But do we use it? Do we, are we living a life that allows us to embody it? And maybe it's just a matter of using a means and the timing of your life and your walk with him that he wanted you to have this testimony of how he has moved in your life. I can't attribute it. I can't say for certain.
But
I know that they were supposed to have this conversation about the like kind of like the culmination conversation after Andy had used the water. And I was supposed to be here and then not be here and supposed to be here. And then she shows up at the door. She's like, hi. And I was like, hi. And I've got chicken all over my hands because I'm making lunch for the kids. And then then Andy has a call. And so there's a lot of commotion in the house. And then she says to me, hey, oh, you used to be a Muslim. I have this Muslim friend. I have this friend of mine who I always thought was Christian, but I find out now she's Muslim. And so we had this whole conversation about what's the best approach to talk to her about the real Jesus Christ as compared to the Quran. And I was like, and I looked at her and I was like, ah, now I know why I'm here today when you're here. You know, like to her, this is all about the water. But to me, I'm like, apparently I needed to have this conversation with you to help you as you're evangelizing to your friend. So I can't tell you what God has in store, but all of it's good. He'll use all of it.
Yeah. That's it. Nice to have all my functionality working with no pain.
Yes. Remember that. I second that.
If you know what I'm talking about. All right. We love you, friends. Thank you for saying, I mean, the numbers went up to like, I don't know, they went up as we were talking about that stuff. So it's really bizarre. I know. It's so funny. I love the show. I love all of you and the fact that you sit here and sit with us. It's almost like a small group in like a little, I said this before, like at Panera Bread, where we just all get together and we're chatting and talking about stuff. We read our devotional and we get kind of sidetracked on other stuff. But it all kind of, we constantly try to bring it back. It doesn't stay there, but we try to bring it back. All right, my friends, Tim Fox, Paul, and Robert Block. Nice to see you.
Danielle, Zaina.
I love that name.
Karen,
everybody.
Priscilla.
Danielle.
Thank you. Did you say
Danielle?
Yes. April.
April Roga. Nice. Thank you all for joining us. We love you guys. And I would appreciate the prayer for my thought that everything's going to go well. Yeah. And that God liked my presentation that I gave him last night.
I always pray for everything to go well for you. Water, no water. House, no house. I love that Andy made a PowerPoint presentation for God because he had a miraculous experience really hearing the voice of God yesterday, and that you capitalized on that, if we could say that word, or jumped on that and decided.
I listened. Yeah.
But then this morning you were like, okay, I kind of like this. Yeah. Let me try this again.
Yeah, it actually is a keynote presentation. I'm not a fan of PowerPoint.
Yeah, a keynote.
Yeah, keynote presentation. All right, my friends, it's a Mac product. I'm a Mac person. Look at you with your shoulder hanging out there. What's happening there?
This is a giant sweatshirt, folks. We have matching sweatshirts.
This is devotional. This is the Andy Falco show. It's happening.
Just a shoulder.
All right, we love you guys. Bless, God bless you, and God for everybody's you. Healing. We didn't get a chance to go through all the prayers. We know that Priscilla's prayer got answered.
Yes,
for her job. That's awesome.
Woo-hoo.
Paul appears that he's feeling better. We just have not seen Corinder. We haven't seen Corinder in a while. And I hope everything. I should private message him.
Yes,
to see what's happening. All right, my friends, we love you guys.
God bless you. Have a beautiful day.
Yeah, take care. Bye.
Bye.
To you. Oh, hi. Bye. Oops.